turn to Obadiah. Probably a passage, you know, I got to tell you, every time I think about Obadiah, you know, I'd say chapter one, but there are no chapters in Obadiah. They're just verses, okay? My preaching professor, when I was at Cincinnati Bible College, used to try to train us to be good speakers. And we had a thing that we had to do every day, and you're just going to crack up. This is so silly, if you can imagine us doing this. That we were supposed to stand in front of a mirror every day and for 15 minutes say, Obadiah, Obadiah, Obadiah. And it was to train us to get our voices down into our bass range. You know, I'm 42. I still can't find my bass range. Unless you call me at 6 in the morning, then you'll hear my bass range. You know, then I've got this amazing bass voice. But I remember sitting in a Bible college in Illinois one time with a friend of mine, and the professor was teaching on Obadiah, or supposedly. He spent a 55-minute class talking about the value of a quarter or something, and then he spent 5 minutes on the book of Obadiah. And then told these young preacher candidates, now, don't neglect Obadiah. I mean, my goodness, it's only 20 or so passages, verses long. Why have I asked you to turn to Obadiah? Because Obadiah is a prophecy specifically about Edom and Esau. And it says some very interesting things about what is going to happen in the last days in relationship to Edom and Esau. If you turn, you're not in Obadiah anymore. Just look down at verse 15. For the day of the Lord draws near on all nations. And guys, I wish you'd underline this in your Bible. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your head. Remember how in the past weeks we've talked about some of the things that are happening in this world, and I believe they're a direct result of mistakes and things that are being done to Israel. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. What you do to Israel will be done to you. Why? Because Israel is more holy, more sacred, more pure? No, because God's in a relationship with them, and in order for you and I to understand his commitment to that relationship, we have to see him being faithful to them even when they are faithless to him. That's the whole paradigm of why I know I can trust him with my salvation. It's not because Israel is faithful. It's because they're faithless, but he is faithful. All right? And in seeing that, I know he will be faithful to me even when I sometimes feel like I'm back to being dead in my trespasses and sins. All right? Because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and swallow and become as if they had never existed. But on Mount Zion, there will be those who escape and it will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. And look at verse 18. This is the key verse. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau will be as stubble. And they will set them on fire and consume them so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Man, that is a heavy prophecy. That is a seriously heavy word. It's a prophecy that I believe will find its ultimate fulfillment in the last days when you get all the way out there and things like Gog and Magog. We don't have time to go into all that. But the bottom line is God wants you to know he's going to do it because look what he says. The Lord has spoken. This is going to happen because I've said it's going to happen. I have to be honest with you. The sages say that Jacob somehow knew prophetically, and this is what motivated him at the birth of Joseph, that somehow he knew prophetically that Joseph was going to be the one who would give victory over the house of Esau, and that is what motivated him to go back. Now, quite honestly, that may be reading back into the experience after the fact, after we get the prophecy and we sort of know this, but it doesn't really matter because providentially the scripture does point to the arrival of Joseph as being a motivating factor in Jacob's willingness to face Esau. Something is stirring, and I'm bringing it to your attention just so you know just how significant Joseph really is. Why pair the house of Jacob and the house of Joseph? Well, the house of Joseph is destined to go into the nations and be cut off from Israel, but the Bible says he is going to use them against the kingdoms of Esau and Edom. Again, I don't want to jump ahead to some of the stuff in Joseph, but we're going to show you when we get there just how amazing the family of Joseph really is, where they've gone, and exactly how God is using them. It's an amazing thing. apparently Joseph's presence has an impact on this Jacob-Esau relationship.